to put on a future agenda to November 19th meeting. The Brown Act specifically authorizes you to do that. And actually, the only notice that's required for this item is the typical 72-hour agenda notice that the Brown Act requires.
And
but
that was
staff,
done.
That was done, but we went staff went far beyond that and sent out notice to all interested parties that it was aware of.
Okay. Thank you. No speaking from the audience, please, Charlene.
I didn't get
If you continue to do that, if you continue to do. Okay, thank you. And we're going to do this as orderly as possible. This is something that I know you are very passionate about, and you need to understand that we up here do not take this lightly at all. We have studied this, and we're going to treat this very, very serious. Commissioner Norby.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair, Acting Chair. I cast a lone vote against hearing this. I did not want this item to continue today. I just want to go on record as we act as a body up here. A vote was taken. That vote was affirmative for hearing this this issue today, and I'm prepared to hear this issue today.
Thank you. And you were the lone vote against it, were you not?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Commissioner Day?
Yeah, just to clarify with council, because I received a lot of emails from that Cheryl forwarded suggesting that this somehow didn't get an adequate public notice. Maybe this is a question for the director. The hearing, the notice for this hearing today was posted on what day? That normally 10 days before the hearing?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Day, it was 10 days in advance.
So that would be December 9th. So in this case, we had a discussion in a public meeting and a direction of staff almost 30 days before. So I know Ms. Sarah suggested that she didn't know, but I, in fact, saw an email from her the night of November 19th, right after our meeting. So I know she knew about that. And I know I saw a lot of emails from other people in the community going back and forth, so they clearly knew about it too. So in this case, we've actually gone above and beyond our typical policy in giving the public more than or close to triple the amount of public notice that we normally do, and what we normally do is more than required by law. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Day, I would agree with your statement. We went far and above the legally required noticing requirements. As you mentioned, the day after the hearing, we sent an email to interested individuals on this project that in fact the date was going to be set for today. We sent out, we did the 10-day notice. We also emailed and sent out notices to people whose addresses we had who had spoken on this issue. So yes, we went well and above and beyond the noticing requirements.
Thank you. Thank you. You've heard, commissioners, you've heard the request for continuous. Any further discussion?
Do we need a motion relative to the request?
I'd like to make a motion that we hear this today.
We don't need a motion?
No.
Okay.
Thank you. Then we will continue. I consent to calendar, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Items 1, 2, 3, and 4 are all available for your consent agenda today.
Move approval on consent of items 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Second.
It's been moved and second. Moved by Commissioner Reese and second by Commissioner Woods that we move on to consent items 1, 2, 3, 4. Any questions? Please cast your votes. All seated commissioners voted in favor of the motion, with Commissioner Beck absent.
Recess now.
We're almost done.
Yeah, just when each slide goes.
Okay, I'd like to get started on item number 5, and the doors are closed. Before we start on this item, I'd like to say a few words. And these are combined to those that have never been here before. I'd like to say that these gentlemen to my right and left are men that represent the whole county of San Diego. We are from every part of this county. So we are concerned about the county. That's the reason we volunteer our time for it. We are concerned about good planning for this county. And oftentimes we have items that everybody doesn't agree with, and I shouldn't say that. Most of the time you agree with our decisions. Sometimes there are times that we might make a decision that individuals don't agree with, but for certain, even those of you who have not agreed with our decisions have come to us and stated that they felt they had their day in court and that they had people here that honestly consider the item. That does not change today. Also, this item was redocketed for the precise purpose of those issues that were left on the table August the, was it 9th? So, yes. And what I'd like to, for you to be respectful of, is for us to concentrate on those items. I appreciate if you would limit your presentation to those items. And having said that, be assured that the two previous hearings that we understand and have all those items in our head, and we'll deal with it based on what we heard. So if those things were, if things that you would like to speak on now that you've already spoke on before, we understand. We do understand thoroughly those items. So I'd like for you to limit it to that's on the table and new information. If there's new information, we'd like to hear that too. Council, with you, kind of trying to set a tone for this, and yeah. Because we don't want to rehash a whole lot of things that's unnecessary.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that we have received a lot of questions about the nature of this meeting, and I wanted to confirm your statement that this is not a de novo hearing. All the prior meetings, all the testimony, the field trip, the staff reports, the correspondence are before you today for your consideration. So people don't have to feel that they have to repeat that. It's already in front of you.
Thank you. With that being said, staff, would you provide us with your introductory report?
Good morning, Vice Chairman Brooks and Commissioners. My name is Mark Slovic, Project Manager with the Department of Planning and Land Use. Item 5 on today's agenda is a request by Increative Investments Incorporated for the Planning Commission to initiate a plan amendment authorization for a master planned community within the Valley Center Community Plan area. This presentation will cover a number of items regarding the proposed PAA. First, we will summarize the background of the accretive PAA and the previous hearings before the Planning Commission. Second, we will go over the project proposal. Third, we will go over staff's analysis of the information submitted by the applicant. And lastly, we will go over the basis for the staff recommendation. This PAA has been presented to your commission at three previous hearings in which you have heard public testimony from over 200 members of the public. The PAA was first presented to the Planning Commission on March 5th of this year. At that hearing, the Commission requested to conduct a field trip to Valley Center, which was held on June 12th. At the conclusion of the field trip, the Commission continued the PAA to August 6th. On August 6th, after significant public testimony, the Planning Commission voted to continue the PAA until the Board of Supervisors made a substantive determination on the general plan update and requested that the applicant provide studies on traffic, water, wastewater, and schools. On November 19th, the Planning Commission discussed a request from the applicant for a hearing on their PAA and directed staff to docket the PAA for today's agenda. In summary, the PAA request includes three connected neighborhoods with a maximum of 1,746 dwelling units on varying lot sizes, a school, a neighborhood serving commercial village center with retail uses, and an active park. The proposed PAA includes a change to the land use designation, regional category, Valley Center community plan, and circulation element, along with associated zoning changes. Because of the conceptual nature of PAAs, staff does not require technical studies when reviewing these types of applications. However, because of the complexity of this project, the Planning Commission requested that the applicant provide studies on traffic, water, wastewater, and schools. The applicant submitted this information to the Planning Commission 11 days ago. The information submitted by the applicant was in the form of a letter and does not contain the typical level of analysis that is included in a technical study for a discretionary permit. The information is very general and does not provide any new information. The information on water, wastewater, and schools is strictly qualitative and does not contain any quantitative analysis of demand projections, capacity, or infrastructure necessary to serve the project. In regards to water and wastewater, the applicant provided a letter from their engineer summarizing discussions with the Water District. In short, the letter identifies the goals of the project, which include a net zero water demand. As we understand it, the term net zero means that the water use will not increase from current levels. With the creative, most of the development site is comprised of agricultural land. In such cases, it is not uncommon for water consumption to go down when the use changes from irrigated agricultural land to residential development. With that said, no information has been provided to confirm or verify that this project will be net zero. The letter also indicates that the applicant will provide a commitment to the district that all wastewater generated by the project would be treated and reused for irrigation. According to the applicant, the project would require infrastructure improvements that consist of a potable water and recycled water distribution system, a recycled water treatment plant, and wet weather storage. The recycled water treatment plant could be constructed on-site, off-site jointly with other projects, or could involve the expansion of the existing facilities. This claim has been confirmed by the Water District. However, the cost and feasibility analysis has not been provided. While the project would be required to invest in substantial infrastructure improvements to provide water and sewer to the site, there may be feasible solutions to these issues because the project is located within the County Water Authority and within a sewer and water district. In regards to school service, the applicant provided a document titled School Facilities Evaluation and additional correspondence with the Valley Center Pama Unified School District. In summary, the letter indicates that the applicant will offer to provide a K-8 school on site at their expense if acceptable to the school districts. The Valley Center Pama Unified School District has provided a letter summarizing their discussions with the applicant. The district states in their letter that it neither supports nor opposes the PAA request, but indicates that they are not eligible for state construction funds because they have a closed elementary school that is currently vacant. So funding for the proposed school would need to come from a general obligation bond, Melarus Community Facilities bond, or additional developer fees. There has been no new information provided by the applicant in regards to school service. Furthermore, county staff does not typically evaluate agreements regarding school service. In general, the applicant would provide a project facility availability form from each servicing school district indicating whether or not the proposed project is eligible for service. If a school is proposed as part of the project, the servicing district would provide their determination at the time of an application. In regards to traffic, The applicant submitted a letter from their traffic engineer in addition to a customized traffic model performed by Sandag, which relied on assumptions provided by the applicant. The applicant has contended that the model shows that the proposed PAA could reduce the number of failing roadways in Valley Center by creating a better traffic balance and by locating a new town center closer to I-15. Staff has reviewed the model and disagrees with the applicant's conclusion because it relies on several assumptions that are not consistent with the Planning Commission recommendation for the general plan update. First, the model identifies Road 3A and a portion of Road 3, shown here in red, as four-lane major roads. This is not consistent with the general plan update's designation, which specifies a two-lane roadway. A four-lane roadway would result in an increase in right-of-way width of up to 78 feet with a design speed of 40 miles per hour to a 98-foot right-of-way width with a design speed of 55 miles per hour. The model also indicates that the project would cause a segment of Road 3A to approach the threshold for a failing level of service, even if expanded to four lanes. Furthermore, the model assumed densities in the Valley Center villages that are lower than the densities in the PC recommendation on the general plan update. In fact, staff looked at the trip counts anticipated in the northern village of Valley Center and determined that the accretive run assumed approximately 50% fewer trips in their model than what is shown in the PC recommendation run for the general plan update. The model also indicates that even with a reduction in the intensity, density, and the expansion to a four-lane major roadway, the project would result in a failing level of service along a segment of Old Highway 395, a segment of Road 3 between Lilac Road and Colgrade Road, and a worsening of LOS along I-15 than what is assumed under the general plan update. Based on the limited information submitted by the applicant, staff disagrees with their claim that the proposed PAA would reduce the number of failing roadways in Valley Center. In fact, the level of service conditions near the project site along I-15 and Old High 395 would worsen, resulting in failing levels of service with the proposed PAA. As staff has detailed in previous hearings, the proposed project would result in an isolated portion of urban development that is not within or adjacent to existing urban areas and would be inconsistent with the existing general plan, the general plan update recommended for approval by the Planning Commission, and other policies and principles as listed here. Of particular note, the project would be inconsistent with the Valley Center Community Plan, which states that the rural atmosphere of the community be preserved and enhanced to accommodate and provide for primarily rural residential development on 2-acre home sites. This slide shows the existing density surrounding the area in comparison to the proposed project. The light green area surrounding the site is currently designated for one dwelling unit per 2 acres. The project proposes a density of over 4 dwelling units per acre, which is approximately 8 times the existing density of the surrounding area. In closing, the department has not been supportive of this PAA for several reasons. The information that was submitted by the applicant has not changed our position or recommendation, which continues to be for the Planning Commission to deny the applicant's request to initiate PAA 09-007. This concludes the staff presentation.
Thank you. Any questions, staff? I'll start to my right. Commissioner Noble.
Thank you. With respect to the traffic information that you provided, that information is new, it's compelling, at least to this commissioner, and I just want to be assured, I think I know the answer, but I want to be assured that that was done by a traffic engineer that offered, with the County of San Diego, that offered that information in terms of the evaluation of their traffic model and the inputs.
Commissioner Norby, through the chair, that's correct.
Thank you.
Commissioner Reese.
Yes, back to traffic again while we're there. The analysis that I saw, you showed the completion of 3A over to the north-south road, Lilac, I guess it is, which is the, yeah, Lilac, or whatever, Road 3. Who's going to, is that a plan, part of the traffic analysis that 3A was completed over to that point, to Lilac?
Commissioner Reese, through the chair, that's correct. It was assumed to be built out.
And is there analysis without that portion being constructed? What happens to this thing?
I'm not sure. I am.
I mean, first of all, from my standpoint, as someone dealing with finances, I don't see how that road is going to be financed at all. So I don't see a reasonable viability of being constructed by this developer or by any of the people adjacent to it. And if there is no connection to Lilac Road, what happens to the remainder of the traffic model?
Commissioner Reese, through the chair, that wasn't part of the Sandag run that was performed. It included the entire Road 3 segment.
I'd like to add, Commissioner Reese, that this analysis was done assuming that all circulation element roads were built out. And that's consistent with the way that we did the analysis for our general plan update. They basically did a general plan level analysis on this. And you're right, if this project were to move forward, there'd be an analysis of what it is actually on the ground. Yeah. But right now, this assumes that all mobility element roads are constructed. And in fact, as Mark brought up, in some cases, the assumption was that the roads would be at a higher classification than what's in our mobility element.
And the likelihood of that is also quite limited, is that correct?
Not at this point.
Of being built a four-lane road?
The four-lane road would, we will, you know, the county struggles to ensure that our circulation element roads are built concurrent with need. It may be that this makes that even a bigger struggle.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to call Oliver Smith, the chair of the planning group, Valley Center Community Planning Group. See if the planning group has changed their position.
Thank you. Oliver Smith, chair of the Valley Center Community Planning Group. The Valley Center Community Planning Group strongly supports DPLU's continuing recommendation that PAA 09-007 be denied. Our presentation to you last August is on the record and outlines specific and quantified reasoning for our position. In preparation for this continuation hearing, the planning group has reviewed the documents submitted by the applicant to the Planning Commission. Those documents contain responses to the following issues raised in the August hearing. Water and wastewater. What we read in the applicant's response was that there have been face-to-face meetings, the outcome of which is generalities to an extreme. There is far less substance than we have come to expect of and been provided by other recent PAA applicants who both we and DPLU have recommended for approval, so they never made it to this level. Bottom line, the applicant still has not done his homework. Second, schools. What we read in the applicant's response was a statement immediately challenged by the school district. Enough said. Three, the applicant made statements regarding circulation and traffic needs. The inaccuracies prevalent throughout their documentation cannot, under any circumstances, be assessed as factual and will be addressed in detail in following presentations. Four, the applicant continues to state that all they are asking is permission to do a study, and they need a PAA to accomplish this. Members of this commission have already said that granting a PAA is not simply permission to study. Inherently, it is a tacit recognition by the county that the project's merits justified continued support by county management and agencies having to allocate limited resources. This recognition is seen as entitlements for the applicant. Given the major multiple issues that have been identified by DPLU and the Valley Center Community Planning Group, there is truly no rationale that supports the inherent recognition provided by granting a PAA. Finally, continuing with 416 acres and 1,746 homes, the project still proposes the density and population of the city of Del Mar on the west side of Valley Center, with access inherently relying on potential use of eminent domain. Again, publicly open and properly noticed planning group meetings indicate that most residents of Valley Center and almost all residents of the west side are strongly opposed to the urbanization proposed and are definitely opposed to the use of eminent domain to support any commercial proposal. We ask that you support the recommendations of DPLU staff along with the planning group and deny PAA 09-007. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. I'd like to have the applicant come forward and make it your presentation.
What do you want for time on this?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. My name is Jim Bartel, representing Accretive Group. My address is 5333 Mission Center Road, San Diego. We've just passed out a booklet which identifies previously submitted letters of support and emails from residents who live in the immediate area. The new information is the
map. Mr. Bartel, we need to deal with the issue of time right
yes.
now.
We'll need, we request 15 minutes for our organized presentation.
Okay, it's granted.
Thank you. I am joined today by Justin Rosas, Principal of LOS Engineering, who will provide you with information regarding our traffic, and Joey Skanga, Principal with Calthorpe Associates, who will address planning and community design issues. I will be responding to your requests for information on water, wastewater, and schools. Next slide. Accretive met several times with the Valley Center Municipal Water District. Although a will serve letter cannot be issued at this stage of the process, we have jointly established the primary water supply goal or requirement for the project to have a net zero water demand and not trigger the need for additional imported water. Next slide. We would commit to build and improve recycled water infrastructure for the project and surrounding properties, and we would commit to build or improve sewer facilities for the project. In addition, the project goal is to preserve 200 to 300 acres of agricultural land and create recycled water infrastructure. This has the potential to directly preserve agriculture and indirectly preserve local farms by making recycled water from the project available for use in the district. Our water consultant, Wilson Engineering, and the district have submitted letters for your review. Next slide. Regarding the issue of schools, the district has submitted letters stating it neither supports nor opposes the application. As a result, we have worked with the district to address questions of funding for a new school and transportation. And we have committed in writing to provide a site and fund construction of a new school at our expense. We have committed to work with the school district to provide necessary transportation between off-site schools and our future neighborhood. You have copies of the communications with the Valley Center Palma Unified School District that reaffirms these commitments. If a PAA is approved, we will prepare a detailed plan and take the next steps of calculating student generation numbers, and this will establish a basis for the comprehensive mitigation agreement between Accretive and the affected school districts. Let me now introduce Justin Rosas to provide information on traffic.
Good morning, members of the commission. My name is Justin Rosas, principal of LOS Engineering and a registered traffic engineer on the county approved consultant list. For almost 2 years, Sandag has run several traffic models analyzing the impacts of a Western Village and Valley Center. We have presented this model to the commission and staff and met with DPLU and DPW to review the details. The results showed a 30% reduction of failing lane miles when compared to the referral map. The comments staff made to you today regarding the model were also made to us in a meeting earlier this week. First, staff is correct that the Sandag modeled road 3 at 4 lanes. Based on county standards for new roads, 4 lanes were necessary for this Western Village. But the road design and CEQA analysis is necessary to determine the exact width and lane configurations. Second, staff stated that portions of Road 3 were almost at capacity. The county's own CEQA thresholds are clear, and the traffic on Road 3 does not exceed those thresholds. Third, staff said that the downtown densities are lower or different than the referral PC recommendation map. This is correct. We agree. The traffic modeled assumptions provided to us by the Valley Center Community Group at that time, those have been moving targets. We've been trying to find exactly what the densities are. Once the densities are defined and the project is defined through a PAA, we can look at the details through a CEQA analysis. Fourth, staff said the model showed a failing level of service on three segments, including Road 3, 395, and I-15. We agree. The SANDAC analyzed a western village of approximately 1,900 units and 30 commercial acres. The PAA proposes fewer units and less commercial. That could resolve the failing segments, but we won't know what our direct or indirect impacts will be until a CEQA level analysis is completed. Regardless, we'll be required to mitigate our traffic impacts. Also, on Road 3A and 3B, part is within the referral map and cumulative map also has failing segments without a project. I have submitted a letter for your review outlining the aforementioned traffic model findings. Any project that we propose will be required by CEQA to mitigate its traffic impacts. SANDAC provides a planning level tool. This planning level analysis shows traffic improvements to local roads in Valley Center. The next step is to create a project design that can be studied by a CEQA level traffic study that we expect will confirm the planning level results. Thank you for your time and consideration. I now wish to turn this back over to Jim.
Thanks, Justin. In summary, we have addressed the four issues referred to us by you at your August 6th hearing by committing to a net zero water demand and no increase in imported water, constructing a new school at our expense and providing school bus transportation at our expense, and reducing or mitigating traffic congestion in the community per a CEQA analysis. Joey Skanga, principal of Calthorpe Associates, will now present our initial planning concepts.
Thanks and good morning. My name is Joey Skanga. I work at Calthorpe Associates. I've been with the firm for 20 years now. And for the last 10 years, I'm one of Peter's only partners with the firm. I'll quickly go through 10 slides and try and address new issues associated with the project. The question was asked, what is the character of this place? Well, I believe it starts with a regional look, zooming out and looking at where growth could be handled. Growth areas are happening along the I-15 corridor near existing infrastructure and a regional transportation corridor. Next, please. We're requesting authorization to begin the entitlement process. If that occurs, we can create a detailed plan. We have an approach today to the planning outlined in the PAA before you today, which I will discuss further. The concept is based upon a series of places with different densities and character. This builds from the center out to the edges where it meets the existing neighborhood. It's not a blanket zoning of four units per over the whole thing. We actually go all the way down to the existing zoning of about a half an acre at the edges. Conceptually, there are three different zoning areas in the plan. The village core, which would include our mixed use, shops, some sort of small town center. Village residential, which would be the about 4.5 dwelling units per acre on an average. And finally, the semi-rural residential, which is around the edges of the site, and that represents about a half an acre to 2 acre lots. Okay, next. The concept starts with looking at scale. There will be opportunities for a few walkable centers. Three, actually, at the scale of the site, focusing on mixed uses such as shops, schools, parks, churches, and homes. The density feathers out to the edges, paying special attention to the sensitive site-specific areas. Connecting the riparian corridors with the major open space helps to define and interweave the entire site. Next. The village core is the activity spot, incorporating mixed uses, which include small shops, civic, some sort of community center, small parks. Ideally, it's the focus of the site, and it's within walking distance of the site. There's one village core that we've shown within the site. Next. The village green could be the anchor. We're talking about shops, but we're also talking about some open space, some place to gather for the site. This creates a sense of place for the residents in the new community and the people who live in the surrounding area. Next. As you move out of the village core, you move into the village residential. Here we have homes which are on an average of about 4.5 dwelling units per acre. 4.3 is actually what we're saying is the average density. These will be focused on the pedestrian and bike activity, streets that are comfortable to walk on. We don't want to just build around the car anymore. It doesn't make any sense in the market, and it doesn't make any sense for the place. Next. Outside the village residential, we transition into semi-rural residential. This will include lots ranging from 0.5 acre to 2 acres. It will help create an edge to the site and help it fit into its surroundings. Not only some of the sites are the homes that are right directly in the site, but around the entire edge of the site, we have this zoning area. Next. This density in combination with trails, open space, riparian zones will act as buffers to the surrounding areas. One edge we're talking about is the western edge is a riparian corridor, and it butts up right against that edge. We feel we can make some connections to that riparian corridor and add to it with our parks in the site. Next. The concept is to keep the higher density within the interior of the project, so there is a gradual transition to lower densities as you reach an interface between the proposed community and the existing neighborhoods. So it isn't one blanket zoning. It actually stretches from the mixed use all the way down to this half-acre sites. Next. The approach we were proposing is cognizant of our neighbors and provides a sense of place for an area that until now has been dominated by freeway. There are two sensitive edges. First, the riparian corridor on the west, which we plan on enhancing and making connections to the park in the plan. And the second are the existing homes within and around the site. We are asking your authorization to study this concept and would appreciate your support. Now I'll turn it back to Jim for our conclusions. Thank you very much.
Commissioner Norbert, what kind of time do they have left?
To the organized, to the applicant, you have 4 minutes left.
Thank you. Thank you, Joey. In conclusion, we respectfully request your approval of PAA 09007 so we can design a project, file our application, prepare technical studies required by CEQA, and undergo a public review process that will result in mitigation of all concerns and impacts to the community. I think everyone deserves these level of studies. The accretive team is now available to answer any additional questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. What kind of time did they use?
Approximately 12 minutes.
Very good. Oh, okay. Good. Thank you. At this point in time, we're opening for public testimony. And again, if you were to hear to my earlier request, I certainly would appreciate it. Anyone getting out of order, we're prepared to have you removed from the hearing room. And so, number one, please.
Mr. Chairman, we have two speakers who wish to speak from a neutral position, Mr. Wally Grabby and Mr. Eric Larson, if they'd come forward, please.
Doesn't have to be in order, but the one would speak and the next one stand to my left, please.
And these are limited to 2 minutes, Mr. Chairman?
That's correct.
Mr. Chairman, member of the commission, I'm Wally Grabby. I'm the district engineer with Valley Center Municipal Water District. Just here to confirm that we did have meetings with Randy Goodson and his team with Accretive and discussed really the goals and objectives for the project. No definitive proposals were submitted, showing what the plans were, but we did talk about the goals, and those were submitted, to the commission, the letters summarized, by staff. Primarily, the net zero was the main goal for the water supply, have no adverse effect on the water supply or wastewater service to our existing customers. Now, the major goal for the wastewater treatment was to have permanent treatment facilities for wastewater generated by the project and to develop a beneficial reuse for the treated effluent produced. I'm here to answer any questions of the wastewater service requirements or water service requirements on the project, if you have any.
We do have some right now.
Sure.
Commissioner
yes,
Woods, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you for coming down. I wanted to validate my understanding of what net zero means. Is my assumption that the current agricultural use on the lands that are proposed for this project, their current water use would be the basis of the net zero? Or if not, please correct me on how that is formulated.
When we say net zero, we're talking about no
increase.
No increase in water supply required for the district. The allocations that are on the property, you know, do enter into the equation. That may or may not be enough for this project. We don't have information to validate that. If additional water supply is needed, there would, you know, we'd be looking for a creative to tell us where that additional water would come from, and how that would be developed and brought into the district.
Okay.
Commissioner Norby has a question.
Just for the knowledge of the audience, I live in a zero energy house that's been certified as a zero energy house, and this example would be like if you're in a 4,500 square foot custom house that was built in the 1920s or 1930s and is not very energy efficient and has a utility bill of $1,500 a month, and then a new owner comes in and builds a new house that's similar size, but because of the efficiencies of today's construction, uses something less than that $1,500 a month worth of energy. That house is not a net zero energy house, simply because it uses less energy than the previous, older, less efficient house that's on there. With respect to energy, the term is used when that house reduces and produces the equivalent of the energy that that house uses. So I think that it's important to understand that when we're talking about net water here, we're talking about the water of the district that's currently being used for agriculture, and I totally agree 100% that a residential use is a much less intensive use for water than agriculture, but not that the house will use no water or that the house will put a well in or that the house will, there are in the proposal, in the letters that I saw, there are measures for landscaping, measures for recycled water, and then, of course, the house will use some potable water. But from your position from the district, net zero means to you that the district will not be requiring any new water than the existing water usage today. Is that correct?
That's correct. Over
Thank
our,
you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
To further discussion quickly on that issue, to me, what comes to mind would be if you had this earlier house that Commissioner Norby mentioned that used a certain amount of water, and you add two new houses that would still supply, you would supply the same amount of water because of the energy efficiency, then that would be net zero. That you haven't increased,
Commissioner,
that you haven't increased the water use.
Right. We look at net zero from the district-wide perspective. We have a certain allocation for our water supply, so this project can't require us to bring in more water. So they may have to develop new water supplies for any additional water supply that they may need.
Thank you. And one other question, Commissioner Reese.
You said water allocated. Is this water allocated and being delivered now, or is there water merely allocated to the property but not currently being delivered by your district?
It's water based on allocations, on base year allocations from our supplying agencies.
And they're being supplied with that water now?
They have meter allocations from past usage based on those past year allocations.
Base
year allocations are based on, I think, for agriculture, fiscal year is 06. Those are the allocations that we based our studies on.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Grabby, thank you, and we appreciate your willingness to stay for further question.
I'll be here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chairman Brooks, members of the Commission, my name is Eric Larson, Executive Director of the San Diego County Farm Bureau. I want to make it very clear the Farm Bureau does not have a position on this development project. you will weigh that and you will make that decision yourself on those merits, and we do not wish to influence that decision. However, you are aware of the strength and the value of agriculture in San Diego County. Despite the fact that we have terrible soils here, farmers have overcome that and developed a great agricultural economy here. We have thousands of farmers in this county who want to continue farming despite the challenges of a very difficult economy and some very serious increases in water prices. What is proper within the footprint of a development proposal, we will leave to you. However, it is imperative that you allow no harm come to those farmers who have no connection to the project. Please do not allow any farmer to suffer as collateral damage from off-site impacts of this or any development project. We want to defend those farmers who want to continue farming in their community. Should you allow that harm to come, that would not be in keeping with the continued support for farming that's been continually expressed by this commission and by the county. Thank you.
And thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we have one organized presentation speaking in opposition to the project. It is Mark Jackson, Karen Jackson, and Hans Britsch.
How much time for organized presentation?
Well, I'm going to do it individually.
Good morning, Commissioners. Good morning. I'm Mark Jackson, 9550 Covey Lane.
Mr. Jackson?
Yes, sir.
Before you commence, what kind of time are you requesting?
10 minutes.
Ten? You've got three speakers. I'm going to limit you to 7 minutes, sir.
Very good. Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Mark Jackson, 9550 Covey Lane, Valley Center. Where creatives, Road 3A isn't needed. Next slide, please. As the next two slides will detail, there's no requirement for Road 3A for community evacuation. On December 9th of this year, DPLU and its consultant, Farron Pierce, shared a Valley Center evacuation route study with the community in Valley Center. Next slide, please. This slide from the December 9th community presentation did not even mention the West Lilac Triangle, which is the red dot where the accretive project is located, as requiring an evacuation corridor. That is because the planning was based on general plan update populations, which doesn't include the accretive project. There are adequate existing evacuation routes for the GPU population in Valley Center, period, across the whole map. Next slide, please. This is another slide from the December 9th presentation, again showing that the population in the West Lilac Triangle has adequate evacuation routes. The only time evacuation becomes critical in the West Lilac Triangle is if you place an additional 5,100 people on 416 acres as accretive proposes, like the city of Del Mar, but on 25% of the land area. Next slide, please. The study on West Lilac Triangle traffic flow was requested by the Board of Supervisors on July 23, 2008. The vote was 4-0. The motion was made by Supervisor Horn. The traffic study was directed by the Board to meet proposed update densities without the accreted project. The traffic study was completed for DPLU by the county's consultant, Farron Pierce, on September 20th, 2010. The study showed isolated areas of unacceptable level of service E and F on West Lilac and Old Highway 395. West Lilac Triangle residents presented a solution to the Board of Supervisors on November 10th of this year. The solution provides desired traffic flow to the freeway at level of service D without the need of the accretive project's Road 3A. Next speaker. Next slide, please.
Commissioners, I'm Karen Jackson, 9550 Covey Lane. The study commissioned by the county showed a one-mile section of Old Highway 395 at level of service F. This is because, unlike the four-lane section to the south of it, this one-mile section is only two lanes. And remember, it would take full build-out of the GPU to generate LOSF in this section. This one-mile, two-lane section can easily be widened to four lanes and restore traffic to LOSD without the use of eminent domain to seize homes and farms for Creative's Road 3A. Next slide, please. The county study also indicated that at full GPO build-out, a one-mile section of West Lilac Road required improvements. In this instance, adding turn lanes to the existing two-lane light collector road will restore level of service D. These improvements to West Lilac Road will not require extensive increases to existing county right-of-way. Contrary to what Accretive keeps saying, it won't destroy one home. Left turn lanes will be more convenient to residents' driveways and keep the traffic flowing. On November 10th, the Board of Supervisors directed DPLU to evaluate the residents' proposal. They are to return with an answer when the GPU hearings continue. On November 19th, your commission accelerated this PAA hearing. Today, we are asking your commission to get the results of the DPLU's analysis prior to your commission making a decision on this PAA. If staff has prepared this analysis, it would be helpful to the commission to see it today.
To the organized presentation, you have 2 minutes and 20 seconds remaining.
Thank you. I'm Hans Bridge, 9751 West Lilac Road. I just wanted to go back and emphasize one point that Karen made regarding West Lilac Road. At full GPU build out, all that is needed to make this road work is to add turn lanes to the existing two-lane light collector road. Let me repeat, all that is needed are turn lanes to make this road work. It will not require extensive increases to existing county right-of-way. Not one home will need to be destroyed, not one. Next slide, please. Commissioners, the residents' proposed option keeps the county out of the business of seizing private land to benefit a developer. Accretive owns 32% of the route of Road 3A, the portion that travels through their land. 68% is owned by angry farmers and homeowners who don't want the road and refuse to sell to Accretive. Next slide, please. Accretive wants our land for Road 3A because they have no secondary access to evacuate their 5,100 residents. That's it, plain and simple. Road 3A is not needed to evacuate Valley Center. There are superior alternatives to Road 3A to manage the traffic generated by the general plan update population. To approve this PAA, you would have to reject your own planning principles. Commissioners, please request a staff response to our proposal for traffic improvements without Road 3A, and please deny this PAA. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there no more organized presentations?
That concludes our organized presentations.
Sure. We will take a break at this point in time. We'll be back in a few minutes. So.